Paragraph 4 of our study on eternal life is the eternal state. And we will use, along with a couple of others, the visual that you see on the board entitled The Four Beginnings. Very quickly on that, you're familiar with it. At the top of the page, you see an arrow with two arrowheads indicating the eternal life of God. He has always existed. There will never be a time when He does not exist. This is called eternal life. And you can see these concepts in Psalm 90, verse 2, and John 1, 1. Down at the bottom, you see arrows pointing in two directions. One arrow points backward toward eternity past, where, as far as our viewpoint is concerned, was the creation of the angels. The angels' creation is noted in Psalm 148, verse 2, as well as verses 5 and 6. In Colossians 1, verse 16, where we have our Lord being the agent of creation for all things. And if He created all things, that means that He was the creator, the agent of creation for the angelic community. And then after the creation of the angels, we have, following the Luciferian rebellion, we have the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the restoration and so on, and that takes place in Genesis 1:1, the creation and the restoration, beginning later on in the verse. And then we have the creation of man as a result of the rebellion. That's Matthew 19, verse 4. Now, if you want this chart, you can download it from the Internet. It's also on page 6 of the Colonel's book, Creation, Chaos, and Restoration. Now, that's the visual we'll be referencing from time to time. Point 1. The Hebrew word for eternity is ath. That's A-T-H. That's the word for eternity. The Greek equivalent is one we've seen in John 3:16, aionios. A-I-O-N-I-O-S, aionios. And it means without beginning, and that would be eternity past, without beginning or ending, that would be the attribute of God, or without end, that would be eternity future. Now we have eternal life without end. It had a beginning for us at the moment of our salvation, and it was a part of the imputations that come to each believer at the moment of salvation. So we have an eternal future at the moment of faith in Christ, and we would therefore have an eternal future past human life, as we've just documented. Now let's note Isaiah 57, verse 15, as we document these concepts. Thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever. And the word who lives here is Shakan. That's S-H-A-K-A-N. Shakan is the Hebrew word that is translated lives here, but it is better translated inhabits. And then the word forever is ath, which I've just shown you is the word for eternity. Therefore, it is better translated, thus says the high and exalted one who inhabits eternity, indicating that God in three persons has eternal life. There was never a beginning for Him. He has always existed. His name is holy. And then we have a quote, thus says the high and exalted one, I dwell on a high and holy place. That's the third heaven. That's eternity. Now we can also note in this regard 2 Timothy verse 1, rather chapter 1 verse 9. God has saved us and called us. That's our election at the moment of salvation. Called us with a holy calling. The holy calling is the fact we are royal family and represent ourselves to God as royal priests. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And that is aionios. It refers to eternity past and makes reference to the undiminished and uncompromising love of God that goes back to all eternity past. That's how long the love of God has been in evidence for us. It was before our creation even. And for God to be God, as we'll note in a future study, He must have omniscience. And to be God, He may not be limited by His own invention. God invented time. He invented time, space, energy, and matter. All of this came into existence in a chronon of time. It did so at Genesis 1:1. That is where time actually began. Man was given the ability to discover and manage and harness time in Genesis 1:14 at the restoration. But time was invented because time involves motion at the moment of creation of the universe. And that will go until this universe is destroyed following the millennial reign of Christ. And that will be the end of time. Around all of that is eternity. Eternity has no beginning and no end. And in eternity past, from our reference point in time, that's what we would call it, Jesus Christ has known all about us. For He is not limited by His own creation. His omniscience indicates He knows all that is knowable, past, present, and future. That is an attribute of God. And this omniscience is one of the components of His love, because His love has to be demonstrated and expressed to us. That love must be organized, and it may not be compromised. Therefore, knowing all things, He was able to provide a solution for us, even though we fell into sin. This, therefore, brings into view the fact that understanding our condition, He provided a solution in Christ. And that takes you back to eternity past, to the love of God for us before we were created, and the development of a solution to our sin problem. And all of that is brought out here, where it says, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity past. Point two, Moses prophetically describes for the human frame of reference the difference between time and in eternity. That's found in Psalm 90, verse 2, the difference between time and eternity. Before the mountains were born, or you did give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting, eternity past, to everlasting, eternity future, you are God. Therefore, Moses is pointing out, you're well familiar with the aspects, the topography, the geology of planet Earth. You know that there was a point where the mountains were born. There was a point where God gave birth to the earth and this world. Time had a beginning. And that takes us to this chart. Where did time begin? Time began here in Genesis 1:1. That's the creation of the heavens and the earth. That creation continues until this day. Therefore, time continues on. But even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And that takes you to the top of the chart. The arrows of the with two arrow heads indicates the eternal life of God, with time occurring in there somewhere. God is the inventor of time. He is not limited by it. We'll note that in detail. Three. This verse makes the clear assertion that God predates time, a concept that the Apostle John applies to our Lord in John 1, verse 1. God predates time. John takes care to express to us that the deity of Christ preceded time. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, at the moment of creation, was the Word. Now, the beginning here has to do with the beginning of the heavens and the earth, not the beginning of God, as we've just established in Psalm 90, verse 2. So the heavens and the earth have a beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And in that beginning, at that moment in time, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We have three wases there, don't we? And we'll note that. First of all, point four. The verb was is the imperfect active indicative of I-me. That's E-I-M-I. And it's the imperfect active indicative of I-me. Now, the imperfect tense describes continuous action in past time. Continuous action in past time. Now, go back to the verse. In the beginning, at the moment of creation, was the Word. The Word, therefore, was associated with the verb was, imperfect, active, indicative. The tense indicates continuous action in past time. The Word was in continuous action in past time at the moment of creation. The Word was with God. Whatever this Word is, it was with God, and it was in continuous action in past time, meaning before the creation, eternity past. Then we have the Word was God. Whoever this Word is, that Word was God in continuous action in past time prior to the creation. You paid attention through all of that, you've got it now that the Word existed before the creation. 5. The Holy Spirit uses this tense to reveal that the Word pre-existed the creation of the universe. Question arises, who is the Word? And later in John, the Holy Spirit reveals that the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word becoming flesh is the virgin birth. It is the true humanity of Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, and He dwelt among us 33 years in the dispensation of the Incarnation. John 1:14 therefore identifies Jesus Christ as pre-existing the creation of the universe. Point 6. In verse 1, the verb eimi is used 3 times to emphasize the undiminished deity of Jesus Christ and His coexistence with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in the eternal state. The threefold use of eimi as an imperfect active indicative, showing continuous action in past time. That means that Jesus Christ is one member of the Trinity. That means He is co-equal, co-eternal, and co-infinite. Therefore, undiminished deity. 7. The deity of Jesus Christ did not come into being at a point in time, but He always was. The deity of Christ is in continuous action in past time with regard to the creation of this universe. Jesus Christ, therefore, has eternal life, and therefore He is God. And this passage documents that, and we have others that will show it as we move forward. Jesus Christ is not a great guy. He is not a great prophet. He is not in any way someone who must be looked upon as his virtue coming from his good deeds. You must view Christ as the Messiah. Someone asked me recently, precisely what does it mean in the Scripture when it instructs us to end our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ? What is it about the name? Well, the name reflects to us who and what He is. And when you pray, it turns out that your prayers actually are routed through Christ. He is your advocate and He is your intercessor before the throne of God. Unbeliever prays, therefore they're not a member of the royal family. They're not a part of the body of Christ. They don't have eternal life. They don't have any of the assets required to communicate with God. The barrier still remains for them, and they are separated from God in spiritual death. The unbeliever, when he prays, cannot go to the throne room, for there is no advocate or intercessor to take that prayer and present it before the Father. Christ is not an intercessor for the unbeliever. He is not an advocate for the unbeliever. It is only for the believer. A president of the Southern Baptist Convention about 10 or 15 years ago got in a tremendous amount of trouble as he was addressing the annual convention and encouraging those there to be mindful of our Jewish friends who are in unbelief, and that they need to be considered in prayer as well as in evangelism, for they need to understand that as they look forward into the future for a coming Messiah, they fail to look back into human history and recognize the Messiah has already come. The one for whom they search and seek has already arrived, and His name is Jesus. and we need to present him as their Messiah, not in order to destroy Judaism, but to confirm Judaism, to confirm the prophets. And therefore, it is imperative that we approach these people with great sensitivity, but with the mission of seeking to convey to them the idea that their longed-for Messiah has indeed come, and his name is Jesus. Otherwise, their prayers, even their prayers, cannot be heard by God. And that last statement created one tremendous uproar among the Jewish community. It was considered to be insensitive and politically incorrect, as well as religiously incorrect, and all of the other incorrects you could be. But it was an accurate statement. And to his credit, the fellow that made the statement did not back down, because his statement was correct. Now, why? Because unbelievers cannot pray. There's no one to listen. Unbelievers can't have effectual prayer because there's no one to serve as advocate and intercessor. Jesus Christ does that. And Jesus Christ, therefore, is God. He is the one who must be recognized as undiminished deity as well as true humanity. And those concepts of undiminished deity and true humanity and one person forever come out in his name. The Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is Kurios. And that speaks of his deity. One who is in charge. One who serves over a household. One who has responsibility for those under him and thus has the duty of providing for those who are under his charge. The Lord means deity. The one who actually possesses the power to care for his people. And that is Jesus Christ in his undiminished deity. And he has had undiminished love for the entire human race for all eternity past. And that has been demonstrated by his work on the cross in hypostatic union. So when you pray in the name of the Lord, you're praying understanding that it is Jesus who is undiminished deity. The word Jesus is Iesus. In the Greek, it is Yahshua. In the Hebrew, translated Joshua. Joshua and Jesus mean Savior. The Savior stresses his work in true humanity. In true humanity, he had no sin of any description, and when he arrived at the cross, he was a qualified human substitute in the eyes of the righteousness of God. And as he hung on the cross, he was not only a substitute, but he voluntarily went there on our behalf, motivated by his unconditional love for us in his true humanity. And he willingly accepted the imputation of our sins and the subsequent judgment of them in his own body on the cross. Now that is the true humanity of Christ. So we have undiminished deity in the word Kurios. We have true humanity in the word Iesus. Now comes the third concept, Christos, which is the Greek word translated Christ, which is equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that he is undiminished deity and true humanity and one person forever, therefore fulfilling the Old Testament prophets who spoke of a kinsman redeemer known as the Messiah, the Anointed One? Do you believe that? Then you understand what the name means. And when you pray to God, you pray through Christ. He's your agent. He is your advocate. He is your intercessor. And he takes your prayer and presents it to the throne of grace. Therefore, if you pray in the name of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you understand who and what he is. You are a believer, and you understand order. You understand chain of command. And therefore, you're authority-oriented. To start out praying without rebound, to start out praying as an unbeliever, does not respect the love of God or the integrity of God. Jesus Christ has eternal life and is therefore God. 8. We are able to therefore understand the impact of passages that reveal our Lord to be the person of the Trinity who was the agent of creation. He's the agent. Now let's note these. We have time this morning. Let's note these passages. Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17 will reveal that Jesus Christ, in His undiminished deity, is the agent of the creation of the universe, of time, space, matter, and energy. Colossians 1:16, for by Him, and if you want to go to context, you can go back up in the context of Colossians 1 and understand that the antecedent of the pronoun Him is Jesus Christ, and you can find that on your own. For by Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created, katizo. K-T-I-Z-O. That is the verb for creation in the Greek. Now, we'll get there in a minute, but you need to see this for a moment before we proceed. In Genesis 1:1, the creation verb is bara. And bara and katizo are synonyms. One Greek, the other Hebrew. And therefore, they have the same definition. There are many creation verbs in Scripture, but there's a correlation between the creation verbs in Hebrew and Greek. And therefore, you have to link them up properly. And what is the equivalent of bara in the Greek? It is katizo. And what is the definition of each? To create something out of nothing. To create all things where nothing previously existed. Where nothing was, suddenly there occurred. Out of that nothing. Time, space, energy, and matter. Now that's what katizo means. For by Him, by Jesus Christ, all things, ta panta, all things were created, katizo, out of nothing. Out of nothing, all things exist. How did this occur? By Christ. By Him, all things were created, katizo, out of nothing, both in the heavens and on the earth. Now, who does that include? In the heavens. Who got created up there? The entire angelic community. They were created instantaneously. The entire population was created instantaneously. They were imputed God's life, eternal life. And they were given maximum wisdom in order to immediately begin to serve God in their assigned capacities. And Jesus Christ is the agent of creation. By Him, context, Jesus Christ. All things, ta panta, all things were katizo, created out of nothing. Now, what are the all things? Both in the heavens, the angelic community, and on the earth, visible and invisible. The angels to us are invisible. He created them. Visible things, He created our original parents. He created the universe, the stars, the moon, the planets, the comets, all of that created by Him in a moment of time, out of nothing. Both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. The invisible includes the laws of physics that keep this whole thing running. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, that's the angelic community, all things, ta panta, have been created by Him and for Him. All things. He is before all things. That's eternity past, indicating eternity to life, indicating undiminished deity. He is before all things. And in Him, all things, ta panta. What does that include? For us, matter, energy, time, space hold together. In Him, all things hold together. Jesus Christ, at the invention of this universe, its creation out of nothing, what happened after that moment in time, that chronon, where He created the universe? How does He hold it together? The scientists busy themselves seeking to discover that. And when they discover one of these things that adds to our understanding of how it's all held together, they call it a scientific law. It is an invention of Jesus Christ, ta panta. that which holds the universe together, the laws of physics, and those other branches of high-level thinking that you know about but I don't. He invented those, and that's what holds it together. And His integrity, His immutability, and His veracity is very important in the fact that it continues to do so. Once He changes His mind about any of these laws of physics, laws of math, laws of other long words like trigonometry and logarithms and algebra and calculus and other ethereal concepts, He understands these things perfectly. He invented them, and they are consistent because of His immutability. Once He changes one of those laws, the whole thing goes out of whack and destroys itself, and that occurs in 2 Peter chapter 3. Just a ray of sunshine, but I'm telling you, it's at least 1,007 years and a few minutes before that happens. And until then, we have time. We have time. Did you get it? We have time. So I want you to note, therefore, from Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, that Jesus Christ is the agent of creation. And He created tapanta, all things. And Katidzo says, out of nothing He created these things. And by Him, all these things continue to be held together. Point 9. John addresses the fact that the omnipotence of Jesus Christ was the cause that resulted in the effect that he and Paul refer to as tapanta, all things. This is John now. We're going to John 1:3 again. John addresses the fact that the omnipotence of Jesus Christ was the cause. See, cause and effect is very important in science. They take cause and effect back. They've tried all of these concepts. There are 7 models for the universe. There's the static model, the hesitation model, the infinite hesitation, steady state theory, oscillation, standard Big Bang, and inflationary Big Bang. And when they take all of these back under cause and effect concepts, they get back to a starting point. They call it the Big Bang. I call it Katidzo. Whatever it was, and there were no witnesses save Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And they reveal what they want us to know about it, and they call it Bara and Katidzo. And the only system among all that the laws of physics and other branches of science provide, all invented by Christ, tapanta. He's given us the theorems, the hypotheses, and the laws. We've finally discovered these things. We're putting them all together, and we begin to track back under cause and effect. And where does that take them? It takes them back to what they call a Big Bang, what we would call Katidzo. Well, if Katidzo is the original cause, and here we sit being the ultimate effect, what happened before original cause? Well, right there is where they have to stop. Because if they go back one more chronon in time, they become theologians and not scientists. And they don't like that. And do you know that all of the theorems and the laws and the hypotheses and what have you that they discovered over a long period of time, and they started to put them into play, and they, the laws of physics, etc., took them back to that moment, Katidzo. When they got there, they didn't like it because what that said to them was that there had to be an original cause, and that's the Creator. And they began to come up with all of these other ideas to seek to explain God away. And the more they tried to explain Him away, the more the laws of physics take them back to original cause. I'm telling you, the Bible is true down to its last syllable. Bara and Katidzo is the answer. And the agent they are ignoring is Jesus Christ. And I've shown you the verses today that document it from the immutable Word of God. Do you believe it? All things came into being by Him, says John 1:3. Ta panta. All things came into being by Him. Who is Him? The Word. Who's the Word? John 1:14. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the proper noun that goes with Him. All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Nothing exists, angelic or human, that was not created by Him. That's John 1:3. Point 10. The Scripture is clear that Jesus Christ is the agent of creation, and that the characteristics of the creation are space, time, matter, and energy. All of these things came into existence in a chronon of time. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created, and the verb there, as I've shown you, is bara, the equivalent of katizo. Something new into existence that was previously non-existent, and to do so out of nothing. And an example I've given you in the past in order to demonstrate this. Some of you have artistic abilities. I know of one in particular. Leo can take his oils, his canvas, his easel into his studio. And he can take those elements that he has with him, his brushes, his oils, his easel, his canvas. And he can begin to construct an image on that canvas. And when he gets done, which is always I've thought to be magnificent, when he gets done, he has a magnificent creation. But is it bara? No. There are other words for creating something out of existing materials, like yatzer, for example. Asa. Those are creating things out of existing materials. These are creation verbs. But not like bara, which is out of nothing. Now what if we put Leo into a room where nothing existed? There wasn't an easel to hold the canvas. There were no oils nor brushes to apply them to the canvas. There's nothing in there but Leo. Now if Leo comes out with a painting, that's bara. Now if anybody can bara a painting, it would be Leo. But I'm betting even Leo cannot bara a painting. Now he can asa a painting, yatzer one, and pottery, that would be more like pottery. The pottery people, the sculptors, they yatzer. The artists, they asa. Christ katizos and baras. In the beginning, Jesus Christ, as we have established in our verses thus far, in the beginning, that is this point in time, the origin of time, right here on this line, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning of time, Jesus Christ, bara, He created the heavens and the earth. 11. Theology has borrowed a term from the Latin to describe the instantaneous creation of the universe out of nothing. It is called, the term is, creatio ex nihilo, to create from nothing. And that is a Latin term to describe katizo and bara. And so to keep from repeating the two, oftentimes I will say to you ex nihilo creation, which sums up the two. Point 12. The Bible also gives us some clues about how time is distinguished from eternity. Concepts and clues about how time is distinguished from eternity. Now this moves us into yet another category. We've established that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, and that by His power all things are held together. That's omnipotence. Now we've established that. Now we want to go to the Bible and show how time is distinguished from eternity in a few passages, and I think this is a good place to stop. But I will alert you that we'll take a look at Hebrews chapter 1 on Tuesday evening. We will take a look at 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13, which establishes the fact that time will come to an end. And Jesus Christ is going to put into effect some laws of physics with which our scientific community is not yet familiar. We will also note Job 38, Genesis 2:7 before we're done. And we will resume our study, therefore, at this point on Tuesday evening. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for the power of the Word, for its immutability and its veracity. We thank You for the fact You've always been there. and that you have undiminished, uncompromised love for us. And that continues for all eternity. That love having been demonstrated to us in such a fashion that we understood who Kurios Iesus Christos really was. It is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we have placed our faith. And we have also placed our faith not only in our salvation, but our eternal future. We thank you for the things that motivate us, the things that focus our attention upon your love from eternity past, therefore motivating reciprocity on our part. May this continue as we maintain our pursuit of your truth. And we lift our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai rene, plethun thae in epinosai tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Dismissed.